Westfield World. It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey.
I cannot. I can't. Why not Ferrari Petey? Why not Bentley Petey?
My boy blessed me with Lamborghini Petey a few years ago.
That's cute.
And now I was drunk at a wedding this past weekend.
Oh no!
And my wife's name is Hannah, so she's now
what is she?
Hublot Hanny.
OMG. I like these names. You got good friends, clearly.
It's like, what the hell is a Hublot? And I was like, something we'll never see, but just rock with it.
Just go with it.
Yeah. But this is episode, I have no idea, 60-something of the Respect the Game podcast.
Oh, snap.
This feels a little fortuitous. Like, you and I bumped into each other. Oh, pardon self. Before I continue, you got Shinee Ogumike here. Did
yes.
I butcher that?
You did it well. You did it better than Frank Isola. You did it way better than Frank. I didn't want to throw some shade.
You should have.
I should have.
Of the Connecticut Sun, welcome.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. Shinee and I bumped into each other this morning at Sirius. I like barely work there anymore, so it was like very happenstance that we just happened to be there at the same time.
And he escorted me home to my hotel, which was nice.
Easy.
Easy. I just got lost in New York, and he made sure I was in the right direction.
There you go.
That's it.
So she was kind enough to come by the office when she was done fulfilling her duties, as she put it. And we're just gonna talk a little ball.
Cool.
Just shoot the shit. So
let's do it.
What's good? Why are you in town? Talk to me.
So I'm in town for the WNBA's Inspiring Women Luncheon, which was really nice because every year we honor and inspire people that are game changers, not just on the court, but off the court. Mm-hmm. So we had teachers there. We had executives, CEOs, which was really nice. 18 players were there. My girl Skylar Diggins was in town. Tamika Catchings was there. There's so many. I mean, the WNBPA was also present. Adam Silver was at this event. He was co-signing. He always co-signs the W, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So I was primarily there in New York here for that, but then also had my serious little XM interview, which was fun. And then I'm here with y'all. So.
Yeah, you're making the media rounds.
I am. I mean, anytime I'm free, I like to just get to know people, and Slam has always been a home since we've been in high school, me and my sisters. So.
Right. And for those who may not know, so you didn't play this year due to injury.
I didn't.
Correct. So, like, have you been doing a lot more media, trying to just, not necessarily fill time, but trying to just expand your horizons, all that?
Yeah. So, like, when I actually came to the league, Tamika Catchings pretty much grabbed me and was like, Shinee, the league is going to use you. You need to use it back, meaning make the most of your opportunities while you're playing. And a lot of times, you know, in the WNBA, for people that don't know, we play from May to October in the WNBA throughout the summer. From October to May, we play overseas. So all those people that are all on Twitter, on Instagram, social media, coming in and say, kitchen, the max player makes $100,000, boo-boo. The next person, actually, after playing overseas, you can make 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in my sister's case, almost up to 10 times your WNBA salary overseas. So mm-hmm. We're making money. We're having a great living. We're blessed. We're fortunate to play the game we love. But, yeah, so I always have to get on my little pulpit and let people know. But I've been
this
injured.
This is your platform.
I know,
don't
right?
let the Slam Respect the Game podcast right? use you. Use it.
I'm telling you, if it's Respect the Game, they're going to put some respect on our name in the WNBA because we ain't out there like, you know, just nickel and diming. We're fortunate and blessed to make a living. But I've been injured twice. I had microfracture surgery. I just came back from an Achilles, so they've been tough. But in my interim time, I'm playing for Connecticut Sun. ESPN's right in my backyard. And throughout college and then my career, I was also balancing both. Mm-hmm. Subbing in on First Take or subbing in on His and Hers, which used to be Michael Jamel's show
right.
before the Six. And there are bigger opportunities that actually came my way once I was injured. So it's sort of like, it sucks that I got injured, but I got some really cool media opportunities. I'm also trying to, you know, dabble a little bit in the NBA, which is why I was at SiriusXM
yep.
to try to talk about my perspective and the players and the movements and all that stuff. So I just try to keep busy and have fun.
So are you back? Like, what's the rehab? What stage of the rehab are you at right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so I think I'll be ready to go back to playing basketball in a month or two. So
cool.
I'm pretty close.
So
I'm taking my sweet time.
Hype.
I'm so hyped.
Yeah.
Like, it's YOLO. After you've been injured once, you've been injured twice, you know, you'll be like, okay, third time, I'm not trying to get injured overseas again.
Yeah.
Let me just stay here, play during the summer. But I'm excited. It's sort of like, shoot, like, why am I hesitating on my outside shot? I'm going to shoot the three.
Yeah.
Like, I put myself through it, and I'm going to come to it. So I'm excited for our next season. Our team did so well. We made it to the playoffs and all that stuff. So we're trying to do better next year.
So you mentioned something this morning that I've been thinking about. So when you're injured, so you were injured, but also
yes.
suspended.
Yes.
So,
not for anything crazy.
No, not for anything bad. But
people always like, you know, when the announcement came out that I was suspended, they're like,
yeah.
Sinead, what you doing?
Yeah.
What you eating? You eating a brownie? I'm like, no. We have no injured reserved in the WNBA. So I mentioned that I had been injured before, and I stayed on the roster while I was injured. And I understand that is great. Like, I get paid even though I'm injured. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I wanted my team to have the best chance to succeed. So that means they needed all 12 roster spots because we were coming in not really knowing what to expect this season. And I think we definitely, I wouldn't say overachieved, but we met our own expectations internally as a team. So we made the playoffs. But I knew that if I was not going to be playing until the playoffs or even later, it'd be better for my team to have that full step forward. So I opted for a suspension. But in return, I also got a contract extension. Oh, so when I'm coming back, I'll be with the team for a while.
So what? They're just like, all right, the suspension is lifted once you're healthy? Or
so no, you can't lift suspension. So I didn't even know this when I took the suspension. Yeah. But once you take the suspension, even if I was healthy and they cut a player to try to add me in, you can't. Once you're suspended, you're out for the whole season. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much was out. I couldn't play. So that's why I pretty much took up with the ESPN and other media outlets. Gotcha. Just to keep myself busy and get some reps.
Yeah, and then so your sister NECA is playing for the Sparks.
Yes.
WNBA Finals starts Sunday.
She was the WNBA MVP last year.
Last year.
Respect. Respect the game. Respect her name. Nemkati. NECA Ogumike.
And then, so, but you're doing some studio work for the finals, right?
Yes.
So that you're going to Atlanta, you're going to be in studio.
Yes.
And the game is on?
It is on ESPN or ABC, like ABC on ESPN, thing works.
Oh, that's great.
So it's great. Yeah. But I'm also working for NBA TV. So after if you guys want to see me break it down with Kristen Ledlow after the game, switch over to NBA TV and we'll have 30-minute post-game shows for the finals.
And last year, I remember game five was crazy.
Oh, my God.
And then your sister was involved in a little bit of a controversial play.
Yeah, so people were in their feelings because they're like, if the refs caught the shot clock violation, NECA would have never had the time to shoot it. So if you guys haven't watched, if you guys are right now listening, be like, oh, WNBA, no. No, our league is great. We have the best women playing basketball. Y'all should come to a game. But if you can't come to a game, watch it on TV. But if you didn't watch last year's championship, like game five, when everything's on the line, we don't go to 7 in the WNBA. We go to game 5. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. I think Minnesota won the first game. Sparks won the second. Minnesota won the third. And then Sparks closed out with 2. And honestly, it was the craziest sequence of events. LA was up by 8 with 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, last possession of the game, Maya Moore drops Elena Beard, and now Minnesota goes up by 1 with the last possession, like going down the court with the Sparks' last possession. They come down the court. Chelsea Gray's dribbling. She's trying to get a shot off. She can't find anyone open. She shoots the ball. I think it's missed. I don't know if it's an air ball. I don't think it's an air ball. It barely hits the rim. NECA gets the O board.
This is
gets
impressive.
Blocked. I know. The only reason I know this is because I've had to talk about it over and over again.
Yeah.
And break it down. NECA gets blocked, gets her own rebound, like her own block shot, and turns around and like makes this nice little fadeaway at the buzzer with like a minute left to win the game. And like Magic Johnson's on the sideline, like doing jumping jacks. It was just absolutely nuts. And I know people have preconceived notions about the WNBA. Get those out of your head. You watch the game. You understand that these women are bad women.
Yeah.
They're bad women. They're best at every position. And our game deserves respect. So if you're going to start watching basketball, like, this is a good time.
And then, and it was a great moment after when they interviewed Candace Parker, and she was talking about Pat Summitt and everything she meant to her. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here in front like I watched every WNBA game last season.
Yeah.
But I was watching that, and I was like, this is really good.
Yeah.
And, like, I definitely intend to tune in.
Yeah, for sure.
At some point during the finals, for sure. And, you know, it's cool. This is the first interview I've ever done with a WNBA player.
honored.
Yeah, me too. This is great. how do you feel about this year's finals with it's a rematch, Lynx Spurs again. Spurs.
It's okay.
Sparks.
You were close. It's SPSP. I'm really excited because I think Minnesota is going to not be caught off guard by the Sparks now.
Yeah.
They're in a position also where Sylvia Fowles is now the MVP of the league. And they also have Lindsey Whalen back, who is an Olympic point guard. They have Maya Moore, who's Maya Moore. Mm. They have Simone Augustus, who's an Olympian. So they have 4 true Olympians on their team, pretty much a starting squad of Olympians. But then NECA was MVP. Candace was MVP. Elena Beard on the Sparks is Defensive Player of the Year. Chelsea Gray was an All-Star this year. Odyssey Sims is the top player. Like, so it's sort of like things are leveling up, so it can be absolute madness. So I think it'll be really good. I'm obviously rooting for NECA and the Sparks, though.
Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, these are 2 Western Conference teams playing each other. So it's cool that, you know, the WNBA just eliminates conferences when it comes to
that's
the playoffs.
That's where the NBA can learn from us.
I agree.
They 100%. Need to learn from us. Like, you can't be having these conference finals with, like, you know, on the West or the East that are subpar games. You need to get the best playing against the best so that at the end, the best two teams, no matter what conference wins, like, that's better for viewers. That's better for fans. And hopefully it'll hold those, like, teams on the lower end, under 500 teams, more accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's the most fair.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always... I mean, people bring it up, and there's always talk of saying that, you know, the travel is just such a bitch. But
it wouldn't really shift. Like, I think they already got rid of 4 games in 5 days. And they have, you know, to schedule, they have, like, an analytics thing. So it's, like, scheduling is automated programs. So literally, this is what I've learned because I'm the WNBPA. Yeah. And so I hear about, like, we're using the NBA schedule module to schedule our league. So literally, to build schedules, they go in and put into the program and they prioritize what they want. So they'll say, we want the fewest amounts of back-to-backs. They find out what the most important thing is. So it's interesting. They want to make sure that the miles that these teams travel is minimal, like, so they put this whole big algorithm together.
Yeah.
So just start prioritizing the other stuff instead of just keeping it the same, because I don't think playoffs, everyone gets mad at the playoffs, everyone gets mad because, oh, the first round of boo-boo.
Exactly.
Like, and stuff like that. I know, but I love it. I still love it no matter what game it is. I still love the playoffs.
And I mean, these guys aren't flying commercial. I mean,
like, we are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's hilarious? A lot of people are like, oh, you fly commercial. I'm like, a lot of these girls, these women now, came from big programs, big institutions where they've chartered, like UConn, South Carolina's, all
Tennessee,
those top schools.
Yeah.
Tennessee, they all charter. So they come to the WNBA and they get humbled.
Yeah.
They get humbled quick. But we understand that, you know, we could if we wanted to, but we're really trying to put our dollars in the right place to make sure the fans get the best experience. But yeah, no, I wish, you know, it'd be nice. Like, you know what's funny? There's a lot of rooms. There's a lot of people talking about how NBA players want to buy teams. Like, oh, they want to buy. Like, I heard they're trying to make. Have you heard about this mixed gender league that's happening with Master P?
Isn't, I think the Gonzalez twins are playing in it, right?
Yeah, they are. Ron Artest, Big Baby. I'm actually going out to Vegas to broadcast that game. Like,
look,
I'm the
commentator. Look at you with the plug.
Hey, I'm from Houston. Master P put me on. He put me on. But it's funny because a lot of these players, like, oh, we want to buy teams. Like, bruh, NBA players, buy our team.
Yeah.
Buy WNBA teams. Like, that would be so dope. Honestly, I think it takes, like, a million to operate, pretty much. That's light work for some people.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like hoping that one day they're like, oh, we support the W. Let me show me with your pocketbook.
Yeah.
Help bring us to another level instead of buying, like, all these other teams. Buy ours. Like, come on, that'd be so dope.
So
that's me wishful thinking.
What was your international experience like?
It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I played overseas in Italy, and Italy was, like, beyond amazing. So I played in Schio, which is in the northern part of Italy. It's like an hour from Venice, 2 hours from Milan in the north part. And it was amazing. Like, the food was great. The people were cool. They're huge basketball fans. And then I also played in China, and I love China.
Really?
Yeah. So I played in Hunan province, a team in Luoyang, which is the Yishuan also area. So I know. I bet you people are like, what?
I have no idea where that is.
It's in, like, central mainland China.
Okay.
And it was so cool. Like,
yeah.
So many people came to the games. It was unreal.
Do they still smoke cigarettes indoors?
Yes,
then?
Yeah. They still smoke cigarettes. So I know, like, people, I'd be, you know, no shame in my game. I have a mask on. mask on. No, I really would wear a mask everywhere. So much cigarette. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, we could make it. It was cold too.
Yeah.
Because, like, China is cold. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. That was the scariest flight of my life because I don't know if it's just the air that's different there. It was the most turbulent flight I've ever been on. I thought I saw Jesus multiple times up in the air. But it was an amazing experience. I had a boss translator. You need a translator when you go there.
For sure.
I had a boss translator. He was a huge basketball fan. He loved Swaggy P. He calls himself Swaggy J. Jiangyi Fan. That's what I, that was his name. I call him my Arzer, which is son, my son. He's good people. So
wait,
I had a great experience.
Why do you love Swaggy P so much?
I really don't know. Like, first of all,
did he
play
in China?
They love
point?
but they love the Lakers.
Okay.
So
that makes
China,
sense.
Yeah, China, like, they're huge Lakers fans. I think, I don't even know who's next. Maybe even the Bulls. They love
the Rockets.
Yeah, the Rockets.
Yeah,
for Yao's legacy. But yeah, he loves Swaggy P.
It's weird.
He called himself Swaggy J. I think he even had a Swaggy P tattoo. Yeah, Jiangyi Fan, that was my boy. He took care of me when I was in China.
Does,
like,
he come to the States ever?
I don't think he can come. Like, I think, you know, the way our country's set up is hard.
You're right.
The way our country's set up right now, it's hard.
Oh, another WNBA rule that I think that the NBA is looking at is there's been a lot of talk about draft reform or lottery reform
in
the NBA.
Yes, I heard about that.
I don't totally understand the rule in the WNBA.
Yeah.
Maybe you could explain it if you know. So, yeah, I'm sure you know it a little better than I do.
I think this is what I know for sure. The worst four teams have the best chances in getting the top four picks. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, the worst team right now is San Antonio.
But they just got the number one pick last year.
Yeah,
right?
But you can get it. I think honestly, I don't know too much, but there are rules where teams that can't – okay, if you suck for 1 year, you can't get the top pick just because you sucked for 1 year. They bring in a history so that you know that this team is sucking over time, so you have higher chances to pick. For instance, the reason why my sister NECA made it to L.A. before this reform was because – L.A., I think Candace took a year off to have her baby, mm-hmm. And L.A. stunk because Candace was not playing, which meant that they got the number one pick, which means NECA went to L.A.
Got you.
Because of 1 year in which the Sparks sucked. And to me, I mean, I hate using sucked. It's probably a hard word, but I really don't care. Sorry, I guess. But yeah, so like they've eliminated the possibility of teams that have stunk for 1 year. Based on how many factors. A player could choose, like, Diana or, like, Angel McCautry to sit out of here. Mm-hmm. Your team could stink, and then you get the number one pick. That's sort of like – that's like cheating, you know? So now they aggregate years over time.
Sit out of here or sit out and play overseas?
Yeah, so some people sit out of the WNBA season and just play overseas.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they do because the money's more overseas. But we don't want that to happen. So being on the WNBA, we're trying to incentivize players to make the most of their experiences here in the WNBA mm-hmm. so that they don't feel like they have to sit out.
Interesting.
Yeah, levels.
You're putting me on to a lot right now.
I know. I'm trying. So, like, I think whatever the reform is that they're going through in the NBA should also incentivize teams that haven't just had one bad year to have an aggregate of bad years to have higher chances.
Yeah, and I mean, well, the NBA, they use, you know, the D League or the G League.
The G
excuse
League.
Me.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, with the ads on their jerseys this year, comes from the WNBA.
$60 million for the Warriors. What was it, Ratukin?
How much it was?
Yeah, they paid $60 million to get their logo. I mean, if you know what's funny? I was thinking, I was like, when is it going to be one day where some really rich billionaire kid is going to be like, I want my hashtag to go up, so I'm going to put my advertisement on there. Like, I wonder what the precipice, like, what's the standard in which these companies can invest? Is it anybody, or do they have to agree to the partners? It's interesting to me.
You think there's, like, a vetting process that they
I think there is
through?
A vetting process.
Because, I mean, it's like a family. At the end of the day, it's family,
like,
entertainment.
If, like, a Playboy wanted to come up and put an advertisement, you think they would, you know, veto it? I don't think they would. If there was an NBA team in Vegas and Playboy came in, it was like, it makes sense. Yeah. So I was looking. It was interesting. So Ratukin, I think $60 million purchased that logo. Granted, I think before it cost, was it $15,000, like, to just have that option for a team? It's just crazy how much money the NBA is, like, generating.
If you could get a hashtag on a jersey, what would it be?
Hashtag?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know what my hashtag would be. Honestly, I really don't. What was yours? What would yours be besides Lamborghini?
Lamborghini PD?
Yes.
I don't know. Probably something stupid, like stay
hashtag
woke.
Hashtag stay woke. Woke. I don't know what mine would be, honestly. Hashtag. I mean, I wish it wasn't hashtag, but my little motto is, like, I'm tougher than Nigerian hair because I love that. I'm Nigerian, so I'm tougher than Nigerian hair. I got some tough Nigerian. Actually, my hair is actually not that bad. Not that bad. I have no clue.
Oh, man. Well, we'll get back to it. I stumped you, though. I was not expecting
that.
I thought you were going to have something on deck.
You know what? That's hilarious. I would think I probably do have something. I have to go through my mentions. Let me see my tweets.
Yeah.
What I use all the time.
So, you have a sibling rivalry with NECA or the two younger sisters?
None. We have no rivalries. Like, it's funny. Everyone's like, oh, you guys must have been thrown down in the backyard, all that stuff. I'm like, no, we actually didn't. The only time we played against each other was when NECA just started playing and we were, like, all babies. So NECA was probably, like, 12. I was 9 or 10. And my little sisters were, like, little, barely can walk. Mm-hmm. And NECA used to – because she was the only one playing at first – so we used to play 1-on-3 NECA versus us, and we still lose. It was hilarious. But we never played against each other, not even in college or anything.
And then your two little sisters, both pre-med, both at Rice, correct?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, they're studying their tails off. I mean, I'm really proud of them because they stuck through with it.
How are they going to play ball and study like that?
They'll find a way. They always have. I don't know how they do it, honestly. I was an international relations major, which meant I could just write papers from here and there. But they're here, like, and I can occasionally, like, you know, if I needed to not really go to class. Like, you know, like, you know, you can make up that time with IR and those English and literatures, but them, they have to go to those study sessions, labs. Like, they cannot miss a beat.
Well, I can't even imagine when they travel.
Yeah. That's the good thing is that they, transferring from Pepperdine to Rice, they got a year off. So, like, they redshirt. So now they're able to, like, catch up on academics and feel secure about themselves. Man, they really doing it, though. Like, as much as everyone tends to know NECA and I, they're doing something on a whole nother level. Like, I couldn't even imagine.
Damn, crazy talented family, man.
You know what's funny? My parents, so my dad works, he has his own company that basically in Nigeria. So he works at, his business is in Nigeria. So he's always going back and forth between home in Houston and then to Nigeria to run his business. He takes paper run, it's called like document imaging. He takes paper run businesses and makes them digital in Africa.
Okay.
So basically a lot of these paper run, you go to the doctor's office, he'll create an interface through, using like Laserfish and allow them to now have tablets and upgrade their business. And then my mom, this is funny, my mom's in education. So she started off as a special ed teacher. She was my assistant principal at my middle school.
Oh, boy.
I know it was rough. I remember, so I know I would get a bad grade in school when she literally would be in the, so like in the middle school, seventh grade would be up on the second floor. I come out and look down at the cafeteria and she'd be standing there just waiting for me to look up. Like, ooh, I know I got a bad grade. I know I got a bad grade. She's not here. She's mad. But days that are good, like I come down and lunch and like at my seat, she'd have like a food for me, which was really nice. But anyways, she was my middle school assistant principal. She was my baby sister's principal in that timing, and now she's the assistant superintendent of our school district.
So to totally shift from that,
obviously
the Kevin Durant thing broke this week when he may or may not have had
I'm here for
fake
him.
Twitter. Yeah, I love it. But we were talking earlier in the office, like, would social media, not necessarily just social media drama, but, you know, just drama in general, like, is that something you think would put more eyes on the WNBA? And, like, how would that even work?
Like, I think we got to be more authentic. Like, we can't be afraid to. So the difference between with us in college is that we go through college for 4 years and we are in this system where we have to respect our coaches. Yeah. And, like, there's never really drama in college. And you follow the, like, straight and arrow. You graduate and then you go to the WNBA.
Well, that's the problem with college basketball. Sorry to cut you off.
No,
but
it's good.
It's all about the coaches, not
yes,
the players.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It really is. And nowadays, like, I think the best coaches on the men's side realize that you have to empower these players to get recruits. Like, you look at the Calipari's, you look at the Krzyzewskis. Like, they empower their players but also teach them good values, right? So in the women's side, honestly, I think that we're so used to being docile and, like, you know, just respectful kids. We don't challenge the culture of women's college basketball, so that when we come, we feel like we have to always be on this, like, boxed in. You know, first of all, in college, they don't let you be really who you are. They want to keep you as cookie cutter as possible.
Yeah.
That's on both sides, men's and women's. But for some reason in the women's game, that really translates to the WNBA. But we've lost our authenticity. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they try to portray us super girly one time. They try to portray us, you know, as, like, things that, like, the girls that can come and babysit your kids. You know, like, we have to be who we are. We have to be those fierce females that go out there and compete every day. And we got to show all those trolls out there that we can cross them up. Like, you can't speak to us, like, when you're here trying to throw dirt at our league.
Yeah.
We have to show people that we're really the best at what we do. And the best way that people see that is by coming to a game. And then they have respect for us. But if they don't come to a game, they're going to keep talking with these dumb narratives about the WNBA's all this and all that. But I think once they come to the game, they really change their minds.
And when you were saying that, it reminded me of the Diamond DeShield story.
Look at you.
Come on.
Okay. I played with Diamond, actually. USA U18s.
Yeah. So
she was 15.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, she was 15.
I mean, and for people that don't know, Diamond was at Tennessee.
At UNC first. She started off at UNC. I played her my final game in the Final Four. My senior year. She was a freshman playing for UNC. She was balling at UNC. She played with Alicia Gray, who just got Rookie of the Year today.
Okay.
And she played at UNC, transferred to Tennessee, which was crazy because now she is
overseas.
Yes.
Yeah. So
she's made some moves.
She just said, screw it, I'm out.
It's crazy because, you know what's funny?
Also, Delino DeShield's daughter.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite part.
Sister.
No, the baseball player.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, the baseball player. Was the dad a baseball player?
Yeah,
the dad
was.
So his son also plays baseball, I think, for the Rangers.
You were correct.
Yeah, so I was thinking about him.
Yeah, the father played back in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, very athletic family. So I've known Diamond for a minute. And it's crazy because a lot of, like, she chose not to go into the WNBA draft, which was, like, big because she would have gone one or two. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm going back to Tennessee. Tennessee is my home. I love it.
Yeah, but it was all BS.
Like, yeah, like, I was like, what the heck happened? And coach was like, oh, sprint. She's like, I'm done with these sprints. I need to go. I need to get out of here. Honestly, I don't want to speak light of her situation. I don't know, but something happened there. But I'm happy she's making money.
Yeah, but I also feel like, to your point, like, she's probably going to get painted in a bad light by either the Tennessee coach or the media down there. Like, yeah. I feel like, you know, because obviously Tennessee is such a marquee school and one of the biggest programs. So, I don't know. I feel like that's unfair because she's doing what's best for her in the long run.
I agree. And I can't front because I think she had to transfer, so she had to sit out. So, this would have been her – I'm not sure if it was her senior or her extra senior. So, she put her time in on college basketball. And she's very talented. And I think overseas will do nothing but help her with her game when she comes to the WNBA. I just wish that there's a place in college – like, I don't know what's going on with the NCAA – where kids don't feel like they have to constantly transfer in, that if they have problems, they can work it out with their teams and with their coaches. But right now, there's a problem, you bounce. And I don't like that. It's crazy. So if there's a problem and she bounced overseas, that sucks. But I'm happy for her for making whatever decision is best for her.
Yeah. I mean, so how does that work now? So she has to play – she still has to play 1 year overseas before she can enter the draft?
So, no. She opted to play overseas. Gotcha. I think she opted not to go put her name in the draft because there's an age. I think you have to be 21 or 22 to enter the WNBA draft.
Okay.
Whatever age it is, you can – I think – and she's at that age. So she just opted to go overseas.
Was it because it was after the draft? I don't know. That's
I think
strange.
So. Yeah. I think she chose not to really play this year in college, and in return, she like, oh, dang, maybe I should have been drafted. Well, I'd rather just leave and then go play overseas.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. So what's good with Stanford this year?
Stanford, we talk about football because I'm taking some L's, man. I'm taking some L's. First of all, we lose to USC, which was
a
good
game.
Oh, you are? You know when I knew I was not going to Notre Dame? Because I took an official visit there when I landed in South Bend.
Yeah, it's not...
I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize to me. I didn't go there.
Oh, yeah, you're just a fan.
Yeah, my father went there.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Okay, that's funny.
It's, there's only so many football games.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, I love the camaraderie once I got on campus. I don't know if they lied to me, but they told me I was the first female to go into the football locker room that they just renovated, like, in 2014.
You know how many women they've told that to?
How many? That's what I was going to say. Is that a lie? Because I don't know. That's what I was going to say. I wish whoever listens, can someone, like, tell me if that's true or not? Because I was like, oh, my God, I was the first female to go into the football locker room. Okay, I'm here feeling myself. They did a great job hosting me. Skylar Diggins was my host, which was dope. But, yeah, and so it was like South Bend, Atlanta. I was like, where the heck am I?
Yeah, it's no man's land.
But the campus is amazing. It's amazing.
No, it's a beautiful place. But, yeah, I mean – Once December hits, well, it's different for you.
I've never seen snow.
Ball. Really?
I still have. I mean, I only saw snow when I went to ESPN once. I was on campus at ESPN, and they had snow just chilling there inside. I was like, oh my gosh, no! This is gonna be my first winter. Like, winter is coming for me.
You'll be all right.
I don't know. Everyone's like, do you have snow tires? Are you prepared? I'm like, I don't know if I'm prepared. I'm scared.
Just get Swaggy J out here. Like, you drive
I know.
Around.
I need him. You're right. I need my Swaggy J.
Good.
Yes. My lifeline. Oh, but we were talking about Notre Dame. Football?
Yeah.
Are we talking football? Or is this basketball? Or my Stanford girls team.
Go ahead.
I don't know.
Whatever you want to talk about.
I'm in my bag right now about Stanford football because we just lost to San Diego State and it was just trifling. I mean, they're a good school.
San Diego State?
Yeah. I mean, for football, right? Aren't they semi-decent?
I have no idea. I know Marshall Faulk went there, right?
All I know is that Kawhi Leonard went there, and
facts.
I love Kawhi. I love Kawhi. You know what's funny? I was talking to someone. I don't know why I'm going to put myself out there, but I was talking to someone. I was like, oh my God, I love Kawhi. You know, there's some girls in the NBA that, like, there's some dudes that we just love. Yeah. You know, and, like, we all, for some reason, quietly, is like, co-sign that we love Kawhi. And they're like, you guys love a silent Cooper, whatever. I thought it was hilarious. But he put San Diego State on the map, so I always look for San Diego State. So when they did my school dirty, I was just mad.
That team was fire that year he went there,
too. They went to the tournament. Did they go to Sweet 16 or
I
no?
I think so.
Something happened.
Steve Fisher was the coach.
Yeah.
But I just remember everyone on the team rocked amazing Jordans.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you're right.
I think, like, Dwayne Powell, I think his name was, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, he went to St. John's first and then transferred there.
Yeah,
but
that
no,
was
they
fun.
Had a squad.
They had a real squad.
Yeah,
that
I like
dope.
That team a lot. But what about, you saw the Kyrie interview yesterday at
First
Take.
Yes, of course.
It was one of the funniest things I've seen in a minute.
I like him. I like Kyrie. He's a smart guy.
I love, he like...
He's hilarious.
On
he
the
was
low?
Not
exactly.
He was well prepared. Like someone in his camp was like, Stephen A. Smith is going to come at you.
And he was like, I don't
care. And get your game face ready. He was like, bro, you can't fluster me. I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm just here.
On the low, when he was like, ideal in like a reality based world. I'm right, yeah. dying laughing.
I know. I'm like, I based on my life on reality, not just what the media wants to talk about and go with. Like, so smart of him. He's just a smart guy. Duke, for a reason, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but he was also 100% correct because he was like, who was the only person who hasn't said anything about
myself,
this?
Myself, like, Kyrie, K.I. Yeah. I mean, I believe what he's saying is true. A lot of people get mad, like, oh, they were starting beef, caught LeBron off guard, LeBron meaning LeBron's front office. And I'm like, no, if you're like, as an athlete, I mean, I know I play in the WNBA, but it's all the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a move for yourself to put yourself for the future, like, I believe that LeBron is probably going to go to L.A. I think he's going to leave after a year because he mentioned a while ago that the next place he's going to conquer is Hollywood.
Wow.
I was like, I remember this.
Coming with the Fuego
I remember
take.
This. I think he's going to leave. I think he's going to leave Cleveland.
You know what? Remember when he said in the Sports Illustrated thing that he's like chasing Michael Jordan?
Yes.
I think, or the ghost of Michael Jordan. I think I honestly think he's chasing Magic more than that.
You know, that's interesting. Yeah. You know what? I agree because I think with Michael Jordan, he's obviously like the most loved, authentic hooper clutch player that we know. And then he changed the game with the Jordan brand. Mm. But Magic, his impact is different than Jordan's impact. Like he's politician. He's levels, different levels of what he touches is gold.
Yeah. And I mean, just from, you know, he dabbled in entertainment.
Yes.
But, I mean, he had his own show, which didn't turn out well, but still, like, took the chance. And look at what he's doing now with the Dodgers.
Yes.
You know, they're one of the best teams in the
I got
league.
A little connect. I got to show Lon Rosen some love. So Lon Rosen is Magic Johnson's longtime agent. I call him Uncle Lon. So my agent, Allison Gaylor, that's her uncle.
Oh, wow.
So I've gotten to actually go at my first baseball game ever in my life. Happened in May, October. Went and saw the Dodgers. First of all, Dodger Stadium is gorgeous.
I've never been.
You never been? You got to go. You got to go. First of all, the food is bomb in whatever the clubhouse is.
You got a Dodger dog or whatever?
No. I didn't get that. They had fancy food. I know. I need to get it. I know. I was bougie.
Look at you.
It was Lon Rosen. I think he's the CMO of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So he's his longtime agent.
Does
and,
it feel good to stunt on me right now?
Like it really does. It really does. But like, it's just crazy the circles we run in. So I like what Magic has done, not only crossing over owning the Sparks, but also having an ownership stake in the Dodgers, and then his now working in the front office in the Lakers. Like, this dude is nuts, and the people he intermingles with, I mean, it just blows my mind. I know he hosted something like for President Obama during his campaign.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that impact that I think LeBron looks to, like you said, and is chasing LeBron.
I think that's the path that
I think LeBron's gonna outdo it, though.
For sure.
I mean, first of all, he signed a $1 billion deal with Nike.
His platform is way bigger than Magic's ever was.
And think about
his playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I think because the game has changed for those players. Like, it's funny. I was at the Players Tech Summit with Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala, which I was so excited to go to. And it's funny because a lot of guys, they were talking about the levels in which they try to impact, you know, the game differently. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, LeBron has been doing it since he was a rookie. Like, he has been active in trying to seek out different opportunities to brand himself.
He's been doing it since high school.
Yeah, he's been doing it since high school.
Yeah.
Steph even admitted himself at the Players Tech Summit. He's starting to really branch out now to build his brand. But then you look at the reasoning, because no one knew who Steph was going in. Everyone knew who LeBron was. So Steph now has this huge platform, and he's trying to set himself up for success. And then there's players like Kobe, who's now waiting to brand himself after. Because everyone's like, oh, Kobe, you know, ball is life, Kobe. But now you're starting to see personality, Kobe. I mean, what was his first tweet? The antisocial has become social. Like, it's so cute.
He had, like, the wacky stuff on the Sunday NBA shows.
What did he do?
Like, the puppet shows. Did you see those?
No.
Oh, man. We got to look at them after this. He had some...
Kobe?
Yeah.
Bean?
I mean... I love him. Of course.
I love him, but I know.
I love
like,
him, too.
But, you know, the thing is once you're trying to put yourself out there, they're going to be hits and they're going to be misses.
Yeah.
They're going to be hits and misses.
Yeah,
but he's hitting more than he's missing.
For sure. And, I mean, you look at, you know, KD's move to Golden State. Look at how many, you know, he's investing in all these tech startups, all this.
Yes, that was the whole thing about the Players Tech Summit. And also how him going to Golden State sort of changes the narrative within his own team. I mean, you're hearing this Under Armour Nike war between them two right now, those conversations. But, like, him playing on that team has affected Under Armour. It's just crazy the levels to which the NBA is moving. It's just nuts.
Yeah. So what do you think of, you know, speaking of sneaker deals, like, you know, you're obviously signed to Adidas, but you look at, like, Russell Westbrook just got a 10-year deal.
Yeah, what was his
with
money?
Jordan. Something
crazy,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But.
LeVar?
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll get there. You know, he hasn't signed his extension yet with the Thunder. Do you think, like, signing a big sneaker deal like that affects a player's decision to sign with the team?
No, I don't think so. I think it's purely financial. If the number's right, you go with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny because in the WNBA, I think I'm taking that male mindset that, hey, these guys will take opportunities to who pays most, not who they have best relationships with.
Right.
So him signing a deal, shoot, they're going to be happy. Let's be real. If you're a shoe executive and you're playing for the Thunder and you're telling me Westbrook wants to go back home and play in L.A., they're going to be happy because the biggest markets are L.A. and New York. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how much that matters. Like, they might be the ones saying, hey, don't sign that team extension, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
We want you somewhere else.
Yeah, but do you think a player would take less money with a different team because they have the security of a sneaker deal?
That's a good question. When JJ Redick left the Clippers mm-hmm. to go to Philly, I was like, okay, he went to a worse team per se, but took the money. And he's betting on himself. Isn't it like a 1-year deal?
It's like 1 year, $23 million.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
You know, it's nuts. So that started like provoking the idea. I was like, okay, do they go where the money is or do they go where the money and the opportunity is? I think honestly with the Clippers, like they've tried everything.
Yeah.
They've tried everything, and he knew that that was never going to be a championship contender for him. So he's like, you know what? Might as well take this money and go there. I don't know if that is the same type of motivator. Like, okay, Russ is going to get less money to go play for the Lakers. I don't know. I think it's more about his storyline of wanting to go home mm-hmm. and, like, build a brand for himself in L.A. I think L.A. is going to be the hot spot. Like, everyone's going to be like, oh, Lonzo, yeah, they already sold tickets, but Lonzo, he's not going to get him win games, whatever. Wait till next year.
Yeah.
Someone's going. Yeah. Someone's coming. I hope it's LeBron and I hope it's Russ or Paul George. That'll be crazy.
Yeah, imagine Russ and Paul George just bounce to LA after playing with the Thunder.
That would
for
be
a
so
year.
Dirty. I'm sorry, OKC, if that happens to you guys.
Yeah, but
look at what happened with Isaiah Thomas. You know, everyone
exactly,
was so mad with
exactly.
KD going to the Warriors, like traitor, but then when an executive makes the decision, we all quiet. It's crickets. Like, yeah. To me it's just sort of nuts.
I agree with you.
I hope he's healthy, though. Like, that sort of sucks if the Celtics knew something that he wasn't going to be playing, which I think a lot of people think he's not going to play.
I mean, how can you not love that dude? Like,
right?
Yeah, he's just a super inspirational story.
Yes.
Like, super easy guy to root for. So,
yeah.
You know, it honestly just wouldn't be fair if he didn't come back. And
no, it wouldn't be 100%. Fair at all. He said he's 100%, but, you know, yeah. We got to give company lines no matter what as players. But I'm rooting for both of them. I think that trade was a good – first of all, Jay Crowder going there is huge mm-hmm. because I think what the Cavaliers lacked is someone to defensively stop anyone on the Warriors besides LeBron defensively.
Right.
So getting him, I mean, and you know what's funny? I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, and he was like, I watch the Celtics all the time, and Jay Crowder's not a great defender. I'm like, well, he's better than the rest of the Cavs out there, so I'm buying that. With Isaiah, if he's not healthy, that sort of stinks. But I honestly like this PG trade. I feel like Kyrie wasn't really a point guard. He was more of a finisher, a pass to him when LeBron doesn't want to really do, like, he wants to facilitate. And I think Isaiah will be a better point guard for the Cavs because he's better at, like, sort of running an offense. And mm-hmm. I think he'll be good to deflect. But honestly, the five, I mean, I don't know how he does what he does. I don't know how he does what he
Isaiah?
Does. Yeah. I don't know how he does what he does. Honestly, did you see that one, like, when he got, I think he was hurt playing through her, and he got blocked by, like, LeBron, and, like, they did the low angle camera angle during the playoffs. Like, this looked like freaking David and Goliath.
I know.
Like,
I went to a Celtics game this year. I actually did that. I did the story with him for the cover story.
Very nice.
And just watching him play in person, it was like Iverson used to be. Like,
yeah.
Always hitting the floor, just bouncing right back
Crazy.
Up and just sprinting around. Like, it was Crazy. it's really something to watch.
Yeah.
And I love that dude, man. I really hope he comes back.
Love him because he was at the WNBA All-Star game. Also with my boy Richard Sherman, which was dope.
Word.
Yeah, Stanford. Love. And love him also because I love the story that his kids were like, you're playing with LeBron. Like, how awesome is that? And then, of course, Twitter, like, is undefeated, or social media, the internet's undefeated. They
Facts.
Find that video where LeBron's dabbing up the kids, and the kids are like, I'm like, that is the freaking cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I'm sure there's skating rinks for the other kid that was his other son that was a little
skate
mad.
Park.
LeBron's going to go and say, here, son.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, though, I got to get your take on Lonzo's bars.
I think Lonzo's bars fire. Like, you know what's funny? I listened to Jalen and Jacoby as well, besides Respect the Game, obviously.
Yes,
and
thank you.
For real, They were like, he just Nas, like, Nas, he just Nas, like, this guy, he does not know, respect the greats. And first of all, I agree that, like, you got to know Nas. I mean, he's dating Nicki. Maybe that's what will get Lonzo's attention, maybe. But
he didn't say he didn't know Nas. He just said, well, no one listens to Nas.
Well, if he knew him, he wouldn't disrespect him.
He's not, though. He's a 19-year-old kid.
You're right. I mean, he only knows Migos, and he only knows Future and all those guys. I thought it was just like,
I said this the last time, like, when I was 19, I wasn't listening to the Sugar Hill Gang.
No, you're right. I get that. But I wouldn't call it. That was a hot take. He must have known what he was saying.
Maybe they kind of caught him off guard. You think I don't know why I'm.
No, you're defending him. It's cute. It's okay. It's okay. No, I don't agree with that statement about Nas, but I do agree that his bars are nice. Like, first of all, I watched that thing that he has. He had his, like, something in the car. Like, he was rapping in the car a while back with his brothers in the back.
Okay,
he got a little something with it, right? And then I heard the song, I was like, yo, this song goes, and he's good with his flow. So you can't hate on him just because you want to hate on him, or just because you want to hate on his daddy. To me, his music's good. So, but I wouldn't buy the single. Like, that's a little corny, like, for Mello's birthday or something like that. Do an actual song. Gotta shout out Victor Oladipo, though, because he can sing. That's real musicians. Damian Lillard, real musician. Lonzo got bars, but you gotta do a song outside of your family, bro.
I don't know if that's possible, but
everything's on brand with them.
It's
got to
be.
Everything's on brand.
So, did you ever hear B-Ball's Best Kept Secret? It's like the
what
album.
Is that?
It's Jason Kidd. I think Gary Payton, Cedric Ceballos all rapping with decently well-known rappers.
Was it good or nah? His voice is a little funky already.
I guess, like, it depends how you define good, guess would be the way you put it. I mean, I love it just because it's so silly, but I was thinking last week, like, these guys, they got a bunch of talented guys now in the league, like, and you could easily, the way the game is growing, you could get, like, a Future to get on a song with Damian Lillard. I mean, Lil Wayne is doing a song with Damian Lillard.
Were we talking about Victor? You were talking about Victor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't say too much.
We can't say too much, but, like, dudes are doing that. Like, they're making waves in their own way. Like, people want to talk about Westbrook and his fashion, Dame and his album, but, like, these dudes got talent. And it's crazy because once they start dabbling in these other things, people are like, we pay you hundreds of millions of dollars to focus on hoops. I'm like, these guys got talents, right? And it's sort of cool to see them, but yeah, I don't know if I believe about those old heads, that old head album, that throwback album.
Yeah. No,
that's
it's
crazy. I believe in Shaq, though. Shaq's got flow.
For sure.
Shaq's got flow.
Shaq,
I saw that video.
Like the god of all that,
right?
Man. Yeah.
You saw the video when he was roasting everyone at NBA and TNT, like, with the flow was comedy.
I mean, he's forever a legend for telling Kobe to eat his ass.
I know.
Back in the day during a freestyle.
Right? Oh, my God. Goat. Yeah. I love Shaq. I love all those guys.
Word. All right, Shanae.
It's been real.
The realest. Appreciate you. The door is always open whenever you want to come through. Next time in New York. Well, you're not far now.
I'm not far. I'm in Connecticut. C-Town, baby. So I just made that up. C-Town, Connecticut. I'm actually in East Lyme. East Lyme, stand up. Okay, all two people stood up. Bye.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
No, thanks. All right, y'all. Peace. It's been real.